I couldn't believe it when I heard this record. I really couldn't believe it. In fact, the person who told me about it was DJ Spinner, who sent me a message on I don't know, one of the I think it was on Twitter, and he said you need to check these guys out called the Simon Stands. And I was in Australia at the time, and I thought, oh, this must be some crazy sort of I just imagined they were from like Atlanta or something, or Oakland. And then I found out it was just down the road.
Yeah. Big thanks to Spinner for that one. Otherwise, you might not have, you know, got to hear it.
I'm sure I'd have got there eventually, but he definitely gave me a good heads up on that one. DJ Format, Simon Sounds, introduce yourselves, and the project. First of all, DJ Format, otherwise known as...
Matt. Just Matt for this, for the Simon Sound purposes.
Don't confuse
I'm just
the listeners.
Matt. Yeah, this is very much a separate thing.
Right, right, okay.
So it's myself and Simon right here.
Hello.
And... So Format, actually, you, because I was thinking, when did I remember your stuff? But you put out two great records a few years ago.
Yeah, back around. In 2003 and 2005, seems like a long time ago now.
Yeah, and were you, you know, were you making music for a long time before then, or?
Yeah, I mean, I was, you know, doing my thing since the sort of early 90s. It was only really when I moved to Brighton and, you know, met people like Simon that it enabled me to kind of, you know, get on and actually sort of think about the reality of getting a record out and doing some stuff, you know.
Right. And what was your sort of background before you met Simon?
Just pretty much coming from a solid hip hop background, being quite narrow minded at first, just wanting to hear nothing but hip hop, and then through looking for other things to sample to make hip hop with, I ended up, really, to cut a long story short, getting very bored of hip hop and just fell in love with all other types of music, you know, just through looking for things to sample. So that kind of, in a roundabout way, probably I still like some hip hop stuff, but it kind of led me more to this Simon Sounds stuff.
And were you part of, you know, producing some UK MCs? Did you get involved in any of that sort of stuff? Because you work with people like Charlie Jr.
I mean, in about 96, I was in a UK rap group called Suspect, and we put an album out that kind of, I think, was just released in Germany and definitely didn't do much. But, you know, it was my first experience in a studio, so it was all a good learning curve.
Yeah, and was that in London or was it always in Brighton?
No, that was some guys from Derby, believe it or not.
You went to Derby?
Yeah, I used to drive up to Ripley, see Mick and Lenny.
Wow.
Brilliant.
And are there copies of that record still around?
I would imagine maybe if you know.
But there's some good instrumental versions, right?
Yeah, actually, there's my first two DJ tracks on there. But they were, like I say, they were my first sort of, you know, journeys into a studio. So, I probably try and skirt over that a little bit.
Right, okay. And so you met Simon. When did you meet Simon?
I moved to Brighton in the kind of late 90s.
Right.
And I was kind of working with some UK rappers that were from Brighton. And funnily enough, Simon and his brother Curtis were working with them as well on a completely separate project. And that's how we kind of met up and sort of hit it off.
Good time, Brighton, then, wasn't it? Late 90s.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I guess.
Quite a bit, you know, it was sort of... Was it Fatboy Slim time?
I guess there was that Big Beat thing going on, yeah.
Because I was going a lot to Brighton then. I remember, you know, there was definitely a good scene. There was, like, the Concord, and there was that venue. What's the club that's slightly in from the beach as you come in sort of to Brighton on the left-hand side? Ocean Rooms.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, there was Ocean Rooms, and there was definitely a great buzz around there. Yeah. A lot of people were moving to Brighton.
Yeah.
A lot of music being made. I mean, is it still as sort of vital as it was then to you?
I think it's definitely kind of a creative kind of place. There's a lot of, you know, artistic people, let's say, that live there. But I've only just moved back there recently myself after having been away for a while, and it feels like there's not enough going on for the amount of creative people that are supposedly in the city.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, me and Simon particularly, we've been thinking, okay, what can we do in our own town to kind of get the word out about what we're doing and maybe, you know, put on some nights and play, this kind of alternative music, if you like, and it's difficult. It's like people are kind of busy just, I don't know, making their own music, I guess. Nobody wants to just go out and listen. Yeah. It's strange.
I think that's the problem in a lot of places around the UK, actually, at the moment. Yeah. True Thoughts Records, they're down there.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Nostalgia 77, obviously on True Thoughts.
Yeah.
And Beta Hector.
Yeah.
They do parties and stuff there, don't they? I bet they would have liked your records, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they've been
playing it on their radio show.
I never really, you know, had any close ties with them or anything, but maybe they were playing my records. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure this Simon Sound album. Anyway, it's a great one. So you're releasing that on your own label, right? You're doing that fully independently? Or?
No. That was just our first two singles.
Right.
This is actually on a label called First Word Records that are from. Are they Sheffield, Simon?
Or Leeds.
Are they Leeds. Leeds, yeah, isn't Leeds. It? Yeah.
Yeah, good label as well. Good label. I thought that you'd actually. I don't know why I'd put the two. I thought I'd put you down format as having put a record out on them. On that label before, but
no.
But obviously, I was wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, listen. Let's play some tunes, right? We're playing some stuff off the album. It's great. The album's called
Reverse Engineering.
Yeah. That's right. And is it out soon? Is it? I mean, you've had a few problems with the pressings, haven't you?
Yeah, it's if you go to our website, you can get it and you can pre-order the physical copies and you can download it. But you can't get it in the shops yet. I think it'll be out on maybe the 1st of June.
Okay.
In the shops.
I mean, I love the fact that you've done it on vinyl. I also love the fact that you've done it. I've got a test pressing, and I know that it's got a little couple of sort of technical problems on it that I didn't even notice it. But
No. The test pressing's good. It was when the proper vinyl came back that was when the problem happened. So it's had to be repressed.
Doesn't make any sense. No. Does
I know.
It?
I
That's
know.
That's why we missed it. Yeah.
That's why you get a test pressing, isn't it?
Yeah, I know.
That's
I know.
Unfortunate. So, but anyway, what I like about it is that it's kind of it's just a. A and B. There's not. You haven't double vinyled it. You've just done an A and a B, and it sounds fat. It sounds good, actually. It's playable, playable out, which is rare, actually, because you can't
absolutely
normally get away with that. So there's a CD coming out as well. There's the vinyl, and is there going to be? Because you did a session for me for Radio 1, which is really nice of you.
Yeah.
Does that mean that you're going to try and take it out on the road and do something?
Yeah, this is something that we've been playing with, and we're really trying to work it out. But because the material's so studio based, it's really hard to kind of, you know, turn that into a live thing. But we're working at it, and I think we're gonna get quite a good live set together. And
so is it all samples? Is the drums and all that? Is there live drums involved?
It's kind of a mixture.
Right, okay. Yeah. These questions you don't really want to answer.
Yeah.
All right, okay.
Could you see the way we were like looking at each other?
It really is a good combination, you know, like there's a lot of, you know, electronics and other musical stuff that we played ourselves.
Right.
But yeah, you know, there's a lot of inspiration from
samples. Well, I'll tell you what, it sounds super fresh to me. So I'll tell you what, we'll get away from talking about the record because it's just to be listened to at the moment, and we're going to play some of your little choices that you brought in, because there's a lot of records here that I've never seen before and a few artists that I have heard of and I think are good. But hey, let's go. This is let's replay 3 7-inches in a row.
Okay, let's do it.
And these are all chosen by you, and we'll go back to back. We'll talk about them afterwards.
Okay.
Simon Sounds in a podcast format.
When the old man was talking to the young man, you know the young man, yeah, he didn't give a damn. And when the young man was talking to the old man, you know the old man, yeah, he wouldn't understand. Though each appear to sure he was right, the seeds of doubt had been planted inside, so they argued on into the night, too proud and stubborn to see eye to eye. Agreed that the motives were right, they couldn't see others' methods. When the young man was talking to the old man, you know the old man, well, he wouldn't understand. Yeah. Though we jump here to be sure he was right, the seeds of doubt have been planted inside. So they argued on into the night, too proud and stubborn to see eye to eye. Thank you.
Yeah, that's the way it goes. We're playing 7-inch singles, and it's a podcast with the Simon Sounds, and they were all really great. The last one, particularly, and it was on BBC Records.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is funny, because I remember there was a time I was working at Radio London, when it was called Radio London. What's that sound? Oh, someone's got the phone on. Oh, no, it's the record player. It's the vinyl, isn't it? It gets a bit funny. That's weird. Strange Earth stuff. Anyway, but anyway, I was at Radio London, and who was on with me? I had Ayerto Moreira, who's the percussionist.
Yeah,
who'd
yeah.
come down there, and he was like, Giles, can you get me some of those? That's it. Was that, what was that?
That was my phone.
It was, wasn't it? Guilty.
Hands up.
Guilty.
I thought I turned it off.
Guilty.
You saw the guilty look on my face.
but anyway, no, but Ayerto, he was basically obsessed with getting the BBC sound effects records.
Oh, really?
They had these, because in those days, before, you know, you had all the sort of quick sort of digital press a button and it all goes off, you had to play your sound effects off vinyls.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they'd have these kind of
grams.
Racks of these vinyls there, and this is one of those, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that one's pretty tough to find, but I've never found it again.
Johnny Pearson.
Yeah.
Playgirl.
Yeah.
Before that, something new.
Before that was, yes, Tiny Circles by the Wolf People, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is what?
I don't... Side, can you... I mean, I know they're a London band that's yeah. led by an amazing flute player, but I don't really know enough details about them, unfortunately, but they're a great band, you know, putting records out right now, so that's yeah. why we wanted to sort of, you know, choose one of their records and support what they're doing, try and share the music with people.
Yeah, which is what we're all here for. And in a way, it's interesting, actually, because we were talking while we were playing the songs about, you know, how a band like Simon Sound that doesn't necessarily fit into one of the sort of categories that might be getting hype in the media, it's difficult at... You know, timing-wise,
yeah.
I don't think it is, actually. I think that you're actually at a good point. I think it could really pick up for you, you know, on a wider scale, especially if you do some live stuff. But
yeah. But
there are quite a lot of bands just doing their thing and not worrying or thinking about how they should place themselves,
yeah.
in a way. I mean,
yeah.
is that
yeah,
maybe
yeah.
one of the things about the fact that there's less radio or there's less record companies with less kind of influence than before, because more people are doing their own thing, do you think? I mean, or...
I don't know, for me it just feels like, you know, there's the big labels signing the big artists, you know, with the commercial potential, or there's just kind of, you know, just the rest of us just left with the scraps, just
yeah.
hoping that somebody picks up on, you know, what we've done and takes a liking to it. And, you know, like somebody like yourself picking up on our record is, you know, makes such a big difference. And without that, you know, it could just sink into obscurity. So I don't know. I just think, yeah, times are sort of changing now, and it is different. I mean, we're trying to be optimistic.
Yeah,
we definitely
yeah.
want our stuff to reach people.
You've made an absolutely brilliant record, that's for sure. So that's a good start. And before all of that, we played another track. This was another 7-inch, and it was by Audience.
That's right, yeah.
Not The Audience.
No, just Audience. Again, a UK band from the kind of early 70s. I couldn't tell you too much about them.
Yeah, good stuff, though. A track called Eye to Eye. So we're about to play something from Holly Golightly, who's a singer that I discovered probably the same time as you, right?
Yeah, yeah. we can't remember what Bill Murray film, but yeah, her songs were featured on one of those Bill Murray films from a few years back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is quite funny, because Bill Murray, that was that a Jim Jarmusch film?
It might well have been, yeah.
But then Bill Murray also did some Wes Anderson films.
Did he?
And I saw Jim Jarmusch last year.
Yeah.
He was at, a friend of mine had done the making of his latest film, and I was in this place in Paris where they were showing this like preview thing.
Yeah.
And because I knew the girl who's anyway, and anyway, I'm sitting there. It's lunchtime. And I'm sitting there, wonderful, right? It's a beautiful day outside, but I'm going in to see a movie at midday, which we all love, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sitting in this cinema, this little private sort of Parisian private screening, which made it even more groovy.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, and beautiful, big seats and everything, and chilling, almost having a glass of wine before, although it's only midday, so I haven't done it, but it's about to come. I'm sitting down, and who walks in and sits next to me but Jim Jarmusch, right? To watch his own film, right? So anyway, I watched the film and everything, and then afterwards I get introduced to him. And I said to him, I said, yeah, you know, that film you did with... I start talking about his films, really, yeah, sort of, you know, making the right... and then I start talking about Life Aquatic and all these other films.
Yeah.
That he didn't make.
Brilliant.
Oh, no.
Great films, though.
Great films, but I completely got his films wrong.
And at what point did he point that out to you, or did he let you just go on?
He let me go on. Oh. It was awful. And I realised a few weeks later, not even at the time. I remember at the end of the conversation, I said to him, I said, you know, I'm going to go to, because I thought, yeah, you're into rare records and stuff. I was going to go to this record shop in Funky Fly Records, Superfly Records, that just opened up in Paris.
Yeah.
And I was so confident in my conversation with him that I was like, do you want to go to Superfly Records? You know, let's hang out, let's be friends, right? And he went, no, no, no. It was afterwards that I realised, obviously he didn't want to go because I was a complete wanker.
That's a great story.
some music as chosen by DJ Format and Simon, the Simon Sound. And we were talking about packaging and Jazzman Gerald earlier on before we started doing this podcast, and this record has got both of those aspects very much woven into the sound. It's the Natural Yogurt Band, released originally by Jazzman, Jazzman Records, Gerald, and picked up by the guys in Now Again Records, Stone's Throw, and they've done some crazy packaging on this one.
Yeah. Yeah, they must have spent a lot of money getting that done.
And how are you doing for your packaging for your record? Have you got something special, or are you keeping it kind of low-key?
Well, the artwork is absolutely special, and no, we're not keeping it low-key. We encourage anyone to look at it.
Yeah. All right. And it's going to be coming out on First World Records, which is a great, noble record label, and I think that's great news for them. And and it's going to be coming out quite soon. And before that, a couple of other things. There was the CD that Simon pulled out.
Yeah, that's the Transactional Dharma of Rog. Rog Stevens is an ex-member of Broadcast, which is a band that both me and Matt would have to cite as an inspiration.
Are
kind of sonic. Yeah, I think they're working on a new album at the moment. So, but yeah, you know, this Rog material is very much that kind of, you know, inspired by early electronic experimental stuff, you know, like tape collages and tape loops, which has fed into our album. So yeah, it's big inspiration.
Have you had that? Have you got that? I was meant to bring it today. I haven't got it with me. The new one, the Soul Jazz, it was released on sort of German. Sort of all that kind of, what do they call it? All that kind of kraut rock.
Is that kraut rock? No, I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, there's some good stuff on that.
Yeah.
They do really good compilations, but that was great. And actually, talking of Broadcast, what happened to Stereolab? Are they still around? Or is that another?
No,
that's another one that would have been.
I don't know.
That was part of your influenced groups, would it?
Well, I kind of know some of their material because I know they're heavily into their synthesizers, but they're not a group that I've kind of know that much about, to be honest. Yeah.
Me too. If I'm honest, yeah.
I recommend Emperor's Tomato Ketchup. That album is an absolute brilliant album.
Yeah.
It's got good drums on it and everything. And the other thing that you were saying actually was about, which is I didn't know about, was the yellow, the natural yogurt. I always think yellow man. No, the natural yogurt band.
Yeah.
Drummer.
Yeah, well, one half of the natural yogurt band, is Wayne. Can't believe I've forgotten his last name. Wayne Fullwood, who was the drummer from Little Barry.
Brilliant. I used to love them.
Yeah. A brilliant singer, brilliant drummer. And he plays lots of the instruments on the record, actually, him and a guy called Miles. So,
good to know.
Brilliant album, Natural Yogurt Band.
And then the Holly Golightly sort of connection, wasn't it?
We played Seashells by Holly Golightly, which is just a personal favourite of mine. And then The Champion by The Bongolian, who... Yeah, by coincidence, is, I believe, her husband, who plays the organ when Holly plays live, I think, most of the time. Again, just it's one of those records that whenever I play it out, people come rushing up and, you know, want to know what this classic B-boy anthem is that they've never heard before, you know, thinking it's some old undiscovered gem and... you know, and I'm saying, no, it's a guy called the Bongolian, and he plays all the instruments himself. It's incredible, and
brilliant.
And again, it doesn't seem to be getting the spotlight that it deserves.
Yeah, well, that's what we're here for, as you said. Are there any good record shops in Brighton? Are there any record shops left in Brighton?
Yeah, absolutely.
Across
the
Tracks.
Yeah, Across the Tracks has always been good, and you know they're still getting stuff in.
I always used to go there to buy old records back in the day.
Yeah,
but new records and everything as well.
Records, I guess.
Rounder Records are still there, and Resident as well. But I don't really buy a lot of new stuff, so I'm more talking about the old ones, I suppose.
Down the lanes, right?
Down there. Yeah, there's still a few spots.
Yeah, there's one upstairs from that kind of shop, which I wish I could remember the name of because it is a good independent shop. But
Edgeworld,
that's a good one.
That's a good little indie shop. Yeah.
And if I was to go to Brighton. If I go to like Hastings and Margate, is there anything up around those? Do you go to those parts? Do you sort of go?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds silly, but I kind of gave up with Hastings because I've got a good friend there that's kind of a record dealer. So I know that he's just going around constantly cleaning up
Talking
anything.
About Jake from Counterpoint.
I don't know him. I'm talking about Adam, guy called Adam.
Right. And also
Adam Brecker.
The other one that's there is what's the other guy who lives in Brighton, who's a really good record dealer? He's got a name like Rob DeBank.
Oh, Nick the Record.
Nick the Record.
Yeah, he's got some great stuff.
Yeah. So they do. When they live in your area, you don't really want to go anywhere, do you? Because you think they're there first. It's a paranoid thing. They probably don't go there, you know. They probably there's probably loads of room because they're probably thinking the same thing about you.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right.
Anyway, listen, I want to say thanks a lot for coming in for this. And you're going to now play me a load of stuff from your album, little highlights, little special mix you've made for me.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I just want to say thank you very much to Matt and to Simon. And we'll leave you with the record that I found in my mum's house.
There should be Simon Sound, reverse engineering.